The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael vayoma aleihem. And Moshe gathered all of the nation of Israel, and he said to them, Eila hadvorim asher tziva Hashem la'aseh seisom. This is what Hashem has commanded you. This is taking place after Mechores Yom Kippurim, the day after Yom Kippur. Because what we were learning last was that Moshe was on the mountain and he was receiving the Torah and Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. He stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. And then he came down and we had the episode of the Egel Azor, the Golden Calf. He judged the people. He returned to the mountain the following day. And he stayed there for 40 days and 40 nights to ask for Slich of a Kapora, for atonement. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, all right, go back down. Psal Lecha, Shnei Luchais, hew out another two tablets, bring them up the next morning. And this was Rish Chedesh Elul. And he stayed for another 40 days, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the second tablets. The first tablets he had broken when he came down by the golden calf. And the last 40 days lasted till Yom HaKippurim, and that was the atonement in the Slich and the Kapora. And the next day he returned. So this was the day after Yom HaKippurim. And he immediately started to command the people in the Melechus HaMishkon to start making everything necessary for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael vayema aleihem. Moshe gathered all the people together, and he said to them, Eila hadvorim asher tziva Hashem la'aseh seisom. This is what Hashem has commanded you to do. Sheishes yomim te'osem melocha. For 6 days, work shall be done. Uvayem hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, Yelochem Kodesh, it shall be a day of sanctity, of elevation. Shabbos Shabboson Lashem, it shall be a Shabbos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Notice it says twice, Shabbos Shabboson. That means a Shabbos of a Shabbos to Hashem. Leisavaru Eish B'chol Meishvei Seichem B'yem HaShabbos, you shall not light fires in all of your dwelling places on the day of Shabbos. We find, and then, immediately after, Moshe starts to command the people in the Melechus HaMishkon for the sanctuary. Everyone should take from yourselves offerings to Hashem. Contributions, kol nediv liboy, yiviyahu es trumas Hashem. All of those who have hearts, in their hearts, they have generosity. Let them bring their contributions to Hashem. Zohar, v'chesiv, v'nechoshes, gold and silver and copper, schelis, v'argomon, the different types of wools, materials, skins, and so forth. We find in a number of places the mitzvah of Shabbos is cited in the Torah together with the mitzvah of the building of the Mishkan. Here is one example. Another example we had just last week. Last week in Parshas Kisiso, immediately after, we had a detailed description of what Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur was supposed to do. The Torah tells us This is in Shmos Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayimar Hashem LaMoshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe to say, Be'ata daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor, and you shall speak to b'nei Yisrael saying, Aches Shabbosei Sai Tishmoru. You shall guard my Shabbos, ki osi b'ni u'b'neichem l'deiraseichem, because it is a sign between myself and between you for generations, lodas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem, in order that you should know that I am Hashem that has sanctified you. And then the Torah follows, Ushmatem es Shabbos ki kodesh lochem, shall guard the Shabbos because it is sanctified, and so forth. And again, we have the Parsha of Shabbos. So that's the second instance where the Parsha of Shabbos is written together with the Parsha of the Meleches HaMishkon of preparing the sanctuary. What is the reason for this? Why are the two related? The first answer to this, and this is what Rashi brings in both places, is Higdim Lahem Azor Shabbos Letzibui Meleches HaMishkon Leimar Sheinedeches HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu first again to instruct the people on Shabbos in order that they will not make the mistake to think that the making of all of the necessities for the Mishkan is permitted even on Shabbos, which it is not. The people in their great enthusiasm to build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu will think that this is permitted even on Shabbos. Therefore, Higdim Lehem Azor Shabbos. First, instruct them on Shabbos, so they know clearly that they will not be allowed how important the making of the Mishkan is to do this on Shabbos. But, however, there's a deeper reason. Because this reason is not does not suffice. It's true, but it does not bring all of the answers to the question. For example, at the very last pasuk of Parshas Behar in Vayikra, there we're not speaking about the Mishkan at all. And the pasuk states, "Es Shabbosei Sai Tishmoru u'Migdoshi Tirou Ani Hashem." You shall guard my Shabbos, and you shall have respect and fear for my Migdosh, for my Beis HaMigdosh, Ani Hashem. And then we're not talking about the Malachis HaMishkan, building the Mishkan at all, the sanctuary. Another example, from this Parsha here in Parshas Ki Siso, the sages learn, the Chazal learn, that because the two Parshas are linked, what the definition of malach is. The Torah tells us in a number of places, you shall not do all types of work on the seventh day. But it doesn't tell us what malach is. And there are very definite definitions, definite descriptions as to what is a malach, what are the acts of work which are prohibited on Shabbos. Not what we necessarily think is work, is prohibited, and other things which we might think is not such great work is forbidden. Where do we learn that? The Torah tells us we learn it from the Lamates Malochos, the 39 major types of work which was necessary for the Meleches HaMishkon, for the creation of the sanctuary. And we learn the two from each other because they are linked to each other. So here again we see there's an intrinsic link between Shabbos and between the Mishkan. What is the answer to this? Excuse me. The explanation to this is quite deep and quite involved. First we have to understand what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the Hashlomas HaBriya, the total completion of the creation. as it states in Maaseh Bereishis, as it states in the creation of the world. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked for 6 days, then the Torah tells us, Bereishis Beis, Vayechu LaShomayim V'Oretz V'Chol Tzeva'om. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the heavens and the earth and all that went with it. And he completed on the seventh day all of the work that was to be done, or that he did. He rested on the seventh day from all of the malacha which he did. He blessed the seventh day and he sanctified the seventh day. It states, Baruch Hu, Bikitshu, blessed it and sanctified it. Kivei Shavas Mikom Malachtei, because here he rested from all of his work, Asher Bora Lekim Lasois, which he had created to do. So we see that with Shabbos, the Bria, the creation, became complete. Shabbos was the Hashlomas HaBria, the completion of the creation. Now, evidently, without Shabbos, the world was not complete, and it was lacking something. With Shabbos, it became complete, and that's why it states, Bar Shalom, Bar Shabbos, Bar Shalom. You can't have Shalom unless something is complete in totality. The fact is, the two words come from the same root, Shalom and Shalem. Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha. With Shabbos came rest. You can't rest until you have completed your work. While you're still occupied with your work, there is not a total Menucha, there is not a complete rest. This means that the world was lacking something, and with Shabbos, it became complete and total. The question is now, what was it lacking? Kodesh Baruch Hu states, in the 6 days, according by Hulu, Hashomayim v'Oretz v'Chol Tzeva'om. Kodesh Baruch Hu completed the heavens, the earth, and everything that was to go with it. So what was the world lacking? That we needed something to fill up that void, that vacuum. The Chazal tell us that during the 6 days, Sheish Yishim Yamalocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true, he created everything that was needed. This basically was mitzad, the chomer. This was all basically from the aspect of the physical world. The world still lacked a injection of the spiritual world. Through Shabbos, a new dimension came to the physical world. And that was a dimension that came from above, from the higher worlds, from the Olamos HaElyonim. Because of this new dimension that came to the physical world, we have Vayavorech Vayakadosh. HaKadosh brought Barucha, blessing, and it brought Kedusha. Sanctification, Kedusha, actually means elevation, where it became elevated. To go into this a little deeper, what the Shabbos did was be mechaber. What the Shabbos did was mechaber the two worlds. It brought the two worlds together. It brought the physical world together with the non-physical world. There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah which states as follows. Ma hoya chosar. What was the world lacking that we needed a Shabbos? Like we asked. Geniva v'rabonon. two opinions. One from a sage by the name of Geneva, and the other from the sages called Rabbanan. Geneva Omar. Geneva said, Marshal Lamelech Sho'asa Lechupa. There was a king who made for himself a chupa. A chupa is not what we call a chupa. What we call a chupa is a very poor excuse for a chupa. Something on the four poles. A chupa is a wedding home. That's the home that the chosen builds to bring his kala in. There was a king. The king was building a wedding home for his kala, who was to be the queen. Now you could imagine what he was building. He built a magnificent palace. Vitsayoro vikiyoro. He decorated it. He painted it. He sculptured it. Put in all of the ornamentation and so on. But after he finished this great palace, the palace still was lacking. What was the palace lacking? Kala shetikones lachupa. It was lacking a kala. You can have the most beautiful palace with all beautiful carpets and drapes and precious stones and precious paintings, ornamentation. But if it doesn't have a kala, it's empty. What did the king do? He brought in the kala. Now there was a kala. Now it's a home. So therefore he came to live in the palace. But before he didn't go in to live in the palace, what is going to go? Live in an empty house. Kach mahoya ha'olam chosar. What was the world lacking? Kodesh Baruch Hu made the heavens. He made the sun and the moon and all of the billions of galaxies of stars. Veso ashasa shamayim veso oretz. Entire, all of the land. Ves hayam and all of the oceans. What was it lacking? It was lacking Shabbos. Therefore, he brought Shabbos into the world. What is the parable? What does it mean? The Maral says, because the Shabbos is the kala. That's why we call it Shabbos kala. Just as when he brought the kala into his palace, it became now a home for the king, that the king would come in. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Shabbos into the world, which is like a kala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it became a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into the world. The world was a beautiful physical world, but it was merely a shell. Just like a beautiful palace that's empty. When the kala went in, now it became a home where the king could live. When the Shabbos came to the world, now it became a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from this parable we see that Shabbos brought the upper worlds down into our world. Before, Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't come into our world. What does he have to do with our world? But once the Shabbos was there, there was a new dimension to the world. Now he could come and identify and relate and live in our world. This is what Geneva says. The Rabbanan say a different parable. Incidentally, and this is why Baruch Hu, this is why there was Baruch Hu. Where does Bracha come from? Bracha comes from the Shechina. If the Shechina comes into our world, we're going to have great Bracha. Rabbonan Amri, Emrim, the Rabbonan say differently. Moshe Lemelech Sho'oselei Tabas. An example of a king that had, he instructed his jewelers, the royal jewelers, to make for him a very, very beautiful ring. Mahoya Hatabas Hosar. But the Tabas was lacking something. What was it lacking? It was lacking a chosim, the royal signet. What does this mean? You can have the most beautiful ring in the world, but it's not a royal ring. The Rothschilds had jewelry that states was that were more precious than king's jewelry. You have money, you can have jewelry. You have a lot of money, you can have beautiful jewelry. Doesn't make it royal. But a ring that has the royal signet on it, that only the king can have. The fact is, in the days of kings, of royalty, of monarchy, if someone was caught wearing a piece of jewelry with the royal signet, that was a death penalty. That was exclusive for the king. The king instructed that his jeweler should make him a most beautiful piece of jewelry, a ring. But Mahoya Chosar, a nice ring, but it wasn't a royal ring. Chosar Chesem lacked the signet. Once the royal signet was placed on it, now it became a Kli Malchus. Now it became a ring for the king. Kach Olei Olam, so was the world. The world was the most beautiful piece of jewelry. It wasn't royal. It lacked a signet. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Shabbos into the world, now it became a world that was his world, a royal world. The Shabbos was the signet. This is the version that the Shabbos is not a color, but the Shabbos is a malka, a queen. Once the queen came into the world, now it became a royal world. Here we see just the opposite, the Maral says. Not that the upper world came down into the lower world, but the lower world was elevated to the upper world. When you have a ring, it's a piece of jewelry like any other piece of jewelry. So in this world, you put the royal signet on it, it becomes royalty. It's elevated. The world was elevated. That's what it means, v'kidsho. He sanctified the world. Sanctity means nivdol. It's elevated. Both of these parables are true, except each one is from a different perspective. What do we see from this? Mahoya Olam Chosar, why did we need Shabbos? States in 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shomai, Ba'oretz, Vesayom B'Skol Asher Bom. He created everything that was necessary in the world. Why did we need this? Because it was a physical world. It was a physical palace. It wasn't a home yet for the king. He had to send Shabbos into the world to prepare the world where he could come and live in it, give it a spiritual dimension from the upper worlds. And also, it was a physical world, like a piece of jewelry, how beautiful that jewelry might be, but still it was from the physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put his signet on it to make it into a royal world, where it would be elevated to the higher worlds. And that was Shabbos. And therefore, on Shabbos, we had states by Baruch Hosei Ve'Kaddish Oso. He blessed it. That was because he came down into the world. And he sanctified it. He elevated it to bring it up to him. If we give thought to this, this means that Shabbos came to be Mechaber, to join the two worlds together. 6 days of Malacha. It was the physical perfection of the world, of the creation. There were upper worlds, spiritual worlds, but there was no bridge bringing them together. Shabbos was able to bring them all, not only together, but to make one world out of them. On the seventh day, one world is made out of both worlds. This is why Chazal tell us that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos, a person has a taste. He lives in this world, but he has a taste of the next world, because both worlds are brought together. This is why also that the sages say, it states by Kibayem Ashvi, it states by Vorech Eso, by Kaddish Oso. He blessed Shabbos and he sanctified Shabbos. Blessing means you give something to the world. The world gives forth fruit. This is bracha. Kitshu, sanctification, means that the world elevates itself and it distances itself. These are two contrary expressions. The sages say yes. Borchu, what does it mean by Borchu so? Borchu b'mon. Every day, one measure of mon fell down. For Shabbos, two measures. There we see the Borchu. Kitsho, sanctified it, Kitshe b'mon. He sanctified it with mon, shaleinofal b'Shabbos. Nothing fell on Shabbos. The extra measure that came to the world because of the bracha came Erev Shabbos. A double portion came on Friday. But Shabbos was abstract. Shabbos was distant. Nothing came. These are the two contrary expressions. And this is why the Shabbos comes out on Yom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day. Because the word, the seven, is the same word as sova. Sova means totally satisfied and full. This brings out the fullness of the creation. Till then, the creation was lacking. With Shabbos and the Yom HaShvi'i, there was a total fullness. This is why that on Shabbos, we find two mitzvahs which are seemingly contrary. One mitzvah is that we have to treat Shabbos with the greatest of respect and distance ourselves from it. Where it states Shemor, guard yourself. Lisaseko melocha. We have to distance ourselves from all types of earthly work. But on the other hand, it states, Zohar, mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment, that we have to bring Shabbos close to us, so close to us, that there's an obligation of lihisanek, onek haguf, to physically partake and indulge in the brachas of this world. Not only is one not allowed to fast on Shabbos, but for example, on Rosh Chodesh, one also is not allowed to fast. It is not a halach of onig that he has to indulge in the luxuries of the physical world. Shabbos is a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, it's an obligation, where one must indulge in the physical luxuries of the world. Lishanig b'Shabbos. Onig haguf. At the same time, we have to distance ourselves from Shabbos. Shamor, guard yourselves, lest you will profane the kedusha, the sanctity of Shabbos, by doing malocha. That's for these reasons. Because Shabbos is both elevated to the point of the next world, which is beyond us, but at the same time, the next world comes into this world. So it's both worlds together. We have to partake from both worlds at the same time. This is the secret of Shabbos. And the sphere, the total satisfaction. We have a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Kol Kisvei, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosi, called Ama Aneg Es HaShabbos Neis Nilei Nachlo Beli Mitzorim. Whoever physically indulges in the luxuries of this world on Shabbos, he will inherit an inheritance without any limitations. As it states, Ostisaneg, Ostisaneg al Hashem, Biyakapticho al Bomsi Oretz, Vachalticho Nachlish Yaakov Vavicho, that when you will take Oneg, joy and luxury from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabbos, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the inheritance of Yaakov. So he asked, why the inheritance of Yaakov? Why not Abraham? Why not the inheritance of Yitzchak? Because Abraham's inheritance in Eretz Yisrael was limited. He said, go and walk all over, and that's what I'll give you. Was limited. Or whatever you see, I will give you. Yitzchak's inheritance also was limited because Yitzchak was given more land than Abraham. This was by the Philistines. They're Plishtim, they're Gror. But states, Ki lachol ezarecho etein es kol ha'arotzos ha'el. I will give to you and your children all of this land. Again, with limitations. But by Yaakov Avinu, there he said, Ufaratz to yomo v'keidma u'tzveina v'negma. That your children will go and break all boundaries to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. There will be no boundaries. And therefore, if someone will be it states in the Posuk, if you will enjoy yourself on Shabbos, you will be zeche to Nachlas Yaakov Avinu. The Maral explains that. Because boundaries are limitations. The day of Shabbos has no limitations. Because it comes from the next world. Boundaries belong to this world. Boundaries are something which are part and parcel with the physical world, which has a beginning and a middle and an end. So therefore we can measure it, we can weigh it, we can limit it, we can expand it, but two limitations. But when the next world comes into this world, me'ein olam haba, it's not a physical world. And therefore there are no boundaries. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu was given this brocha of a nachlo, inheritance, belimitzorim, with no boundaries. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov was the one that joined the two worlds. Actually, this posuk ufaratzto, that's written where he went, and he went to sleep, and it was the place of the Migdosh. And in his dream he saw a sulamutz of altsa, a ladder that was going into the heavens. Its base was on the earth. Its head was in the heavens. And there, what he was doing, that he was capable of joining both worlds and bringing both worlds into one. And therefore, he was the one that merited the two worlds, the merited the inheritance, B'li Mitzorim, without any boundaries. We mentioned that in this parsha, when it mentions Shabbos, it states Shabbos Shaboson. And also in Kisiso, Shabbos Shaboson. What does Shabbos Shaboson mean? A Shabbos of a Shabbos. Why does it say it twice? We find that we have three types of Shabboses in the Torah where we have to abstain from the melacha, from the work. What are they? Shabbos, Yom Tov. Yom Tov also, we're not allowed, Lesasa, we're not allowed to do Malocha, states Tishbeis, and Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, we're not allowed to do Malocha. By Shabbos, it states Shabbos Shabbosain. And Rashi brings that means all malochas you cannot do. All 39 malochas you're not allowed to do. By Yom Kippur, it also states Shabbos Shabbosain. Yom Kippur also, all 39 malochas we're not allowed to do. By Yom Em Tovim, it doesn't say Shabbos Shabbosain. It only says Tishbos. Some malochas we're not allowed to do. Some halachas we are allowed to do. These are the three Shabboses that we find in the Torah that prohibit us to do malocha. Now it's interesting to note that on Shabbos we're not allowed to do all of the 39 malochas from one aspect. From the other aspect, there's the mitzvah of oneg, the mitzvah, like we said, to physically indulge, enjoy and indulge the luxuries of the physical world. And we gave the reason why. And Shabbos is the only one of the Shabboses that falls on the seventh day in an absolute manner. Yom Tov sometimes can fall, but it has nothing to do with the seventh day. It can fall on any day. Yom Kippur, the same thing. Shabbos is the only one that's kabur bekaimei, that is in an absolute manner is required to be on the seventh day. And the seventh day, we said, comes from the word sova, where it's total, a totality. Kodesh Baruch Hu made the world total with it. It's a complete totality and satisfaction. This means that you have both worlds. If you have both worlds, then from one aspect you have to abstain from all malocha in honor of the world which is above us. But in the other aspect, from the other aspect, you have to indulge in the physical barachas of this world. So that's Shabbos. Yom Tov, we find that you have to abstain from some malochas. That's also because there's an element of Shabbos in Yom Tov. In the Yom Tovim. But Yom Tov is closer, it's not a perfect balance between the two worlds. It's closer to this world. And that's why we are permitted to do many malochas on Yom Tov, which is Letzerech Simchas Yom Tov, which is necessary for the Simcha of Yom Tov, Letzerech Eichel Nefesh, necessary to enjoy ourselves and to eat on Yom Tov and to be mesameach. For example, Mora says you're allowed to shecht. Even if you could shecht before Yom Tov, still fresh meat tastes better than meat that was shechted the day before. Therefore, one would be allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, and many malochas like that. Because there, not only is there the mitzvah to be misaneg, to take enjoyment, but v'shamachta v'chagecha. Simcha Yom Tov. This is Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is just to the contrary. Yom Kippur also is not a balance between the two worlds. But from the other aspect, Yom Kippur falls on Asiri, always falls on the 10th day of the month. Moshe says Asiri, he Kodesh. 10th always has the highest level of Kedusha. Yom Kippur, we have to abstain from all malochos, like Shabbos, Shabbos Shabboson. There, not only there is no mitzvah to be misaneg, to take from the physical brachas of the world to indulge in it, but v'tanu es nafshiseichem, we abstain totally from the physical brachas of the world. We do not eat, we do not drink, we do not anoint ourselves, we do not wear shoes and so forth. And that's because Yom Kippur is closer to the next world. It states you were kemalachi Hashem then. You're like angels. Yom Tov is closer to this world. Shabbos is exactly in the middle. Brings the two worlds together in a perfect balance. Now, what we've explained till now is what Shabbos is. Beginning of the Shir, though, we brought a number of sources to show that there is a link between Shabbos and the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the Beis HaMikdash. What is its link? Just what Shabbos is to the two worlds, in the dimension of time, the Kedushas HaZman, that the seventh day becomes a Kodesh, where it brings the two worlds together. The Mishkan, the sanctuary, the Mikdosh, the Beis HaMikdosh, is similar, is the same when it comes to Kedushas HaOretz, the sanctification, the bringing of the physical places together. The entire world, physical world, is not known to be Kodosh, to be sanctified. Yushalah Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael we call Eretz HaKdosha. It's different. The actual earth becomes sanctified. It's not sanctified in its air. It's not sanctified in its sanctified. It's sanctified Kedushas HaOretz. The earth becomes Kodosh. The Gemara calls it Kol Mitzvahs Atluyis BaOretz. The mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael are dependent on its earth. And that's why anything that grows in its earth becomes Kodesh. Eretz HaKdosha. Yushalayim is called Ir HaKodesh. No other city is called Ir HaKodesh. Yushalayim is called Ir HaKodesh. There also, it has an intrinsic kedusha in the physical matter of Yerushalayim, and ramifications to many, many halachas. For example, there were many of the sacrifices that you were not allowed to eat anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but in Yerushalayim you could eat it. You were not allowed to bring it anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but in Yerushalayim you could, and so forth. And then was the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokom HaMikdash, which was called Kodosh. Now, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Mikdash, this had a dimension of Kedusha in its very earth, which uplifted it from the rest of the world. But it lifted the rest of the world with it to another dimension. Where did it get that Kedusha from? Why? Physically, if you will make a physical analysis on its offer, the offer, the earth of Eretz Yisrael, you will not find any physical differences in it. Because it states, Hashem Sheikhein B'Tzion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that place to dwell in. Two sides. He dwells in it. That itself uplifts it. That itself brings bracha to it. But from the fact that he chose that place to dwell in, and he didn't choose any other place, there must be something intrinsic which lends itself to become HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. And here again, we have both from Limala, Mimala Lamata and Mimata Lamala, that because it's Kodosh, as Mikdosh HaTiro'u, you shall show great respect and fear for my place. Shmor. Because it's elevated beyond us. But at the same time, it's the source of bracha in the world. It states that all bracha in the world comes from Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einei Hashem, Mereishis Hashonah, Atzeif Hashonah,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after Eretz Yisrael himself personally. The Chazal asks, he looks after the whole world personally. No. He looks after Eretz Yisrael. And when he sees what Eretz Yisrael needs, from there he gives bracha to the whole world. It states that the Mishnah in Masechta, near the end of Masechta Seita, writes that Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Poska Barocha Min Olam, we lost Barocha from the world. It says the fruit, we have beautiful sweet fruit. It says no, nothing compared to the way the fruit tasted in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We have soba, sometimes we have good years. It says it's nothing. Not like it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the source of bracha that went out to the whole world. A physical bracha. If you look in the tefillos of the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and Yom HaKippurim, greatest person at the greatest time in the greatest place. His tefillah was for the physical brachas of the world. It should be a world, it should be a year of good rains, and a year where the fruit will taste well, Mesikas HaPerus, and it should be a year where the market prices are good. It goes on and on. Why? Because from there went bracha to the whole world. But why was that? Because bracha is with the Shekhinah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all bracha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there, there's going to be all types of bracha. If his Shekhinah departs from there, all of the tzoras that we have in the world today is because of the Churban. The Shekhinah departed from Tzion, goes into Golus. Mora brings, the Mishnah brings, Poska bracha min olam. We don't have bracha in the world today. Or what we have is a little. But we lost it. This was the bracha. How do we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there? This is why he told us. Also li migdosh in Parshas Truma. Bishachanti b'seichom. Make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. The Mishkan has two names, the Gemara tells us. And this is we see in the Torah. It's called Mishkan and it's called Migdosh. What's the difference between the two? They're actually contrary to each other. Mishkan comes from the word shochein, to dwell, v'shochamti. So Mishkan means a home, a dwelling place. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, make a osuli migdosh v'shochamti b'seichom, make a place where I can dwell. Migdosh comes from the word kodesh, which means nibdal and elevated, something which is beyond us. See, here you're telling, here you're speaking of a home that I may dwell in, and then you're speaking of something which is beyond you. Again, this is both. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to dwell here. When he dwells here, though, it's all elevated, and elevates the entire world with it. If he doesn't dwell in this world, then the whole world falls. It becomes an earthly, materialistic place. This was the same as Shabbos, that he brought Shabbos in the world in order that he may dwell here. And he brought Shabbos in the world that it might be elevated to become a royal land, not an earthly land. This is the same with the Migdosh and the Mishkan. Actually, there's a parable which is brought in the Medrash Rabbah. It's either at the end of Parshas Mishpatim or the beginning of Parshas Truma. Might be brought in both places. Where the Medrash asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to dwell here? What for? So the Medrash answers an interesting answer. Because he gave his Torah to this world. Parshas Truma comes right after the parshas of the giving of the Torah. Then the Mishpatim speaks about Moshe going up to receive the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I cannot be without my Torah. If I gave my Torah to this world,
then you have to make a home for me also in this world. Moshel Ma'adav Adoma, what is this similar to? This is similar to a king, a great king, who had a Bas Yechidah, an individual daughter, an only daughter. One day came time for her to be married. He looked for a good shidduch. He made a very good shidduch, a prince, a son of a mighty king from a far-off land. The prince came. They had all of the wedding festivities. They had the Sheva Brochas, all of the celebrations. Came time. Chasna is over. Princess, I have to go home. Give me your daughter. I must go home. The king says, I have a problem. To give you my daughter, I can't. She's my only daughter. On the other hand, to stop you from taking her, I can, because you're married to her. But I have a solution. Take my daughter, but wherever you go, build a little home for me also, that I may come and dwell with you. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, the Torah, I can't depart from the Torah. I can't give you the Torah. But on the other hand, to take it back, I can't either, because I already gave it to you. So do me this favor. Asili teva achas. That wherever you go, build for me a home that I may come and dwell. So what brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu down into this world was the giving of his Torah. But why specifically did he say his final dwelling place will be in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis? That's what we mentioned. That will be his Hashem Sheichin B'tzion. So there also we have the same happenings. That we're having a joining of the two worlds. The earthly world rises up. The heavenly world comes down. There is Kedusha because the earthly world is rising up. There's Bracha because the heavenly world is coming down. Its meeting point is not in Zman on the seventh day, but its meeting point is in Mokom, in an earthly place, the Mekem HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh. This is its similarity to Shabbos. Now, very interesting. Who was the one that finalized the foundation of the Beis HaMikdosh? The sages tell us Yaakov Avinu. Because when he was traveling, he had learned 14 years in the Beis HaMikdosh Yishem Ve'Eber, and then he was going to the house of Lavan, and he went to sleep. This is in Parshas Vayetze. He went to sleep. He didn't realize it then, but he was sleeping on the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, where the Beis HaMikdosh would be built. And he had a dream that there would be a ladder that would join the two worlds. And this was not a dream. This was what he was doing. He had achieved bringing the two worlds together. This was Yaakov. And when he woke up, he said, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnosei Vayomer Ochein Yesh Hashem Bamokom Hazeh Vanechi Layodoti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in this place and I didn't know it. Vayira, he feared, Vayema Manora Hamokom Hazeh. How great and fearful is this place. Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim. This is the house of Hashem. Now the Chazal say on that, he was the first one to call this place a Bayis. Avraham came to this place to sacrifice Yitzchok, but he called it Hahor, the mountain.
He says, they saw the mountain. That was Har HaMoriah. Yitzchak came to this place to be mespalel. He would daven. He called it a sodeh, a field. Losuach basodeh. Yaakov was the first one to call it a bais, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I choose to call it by the name that Yaakov called it. And this is why it's called Beis Hashem, Beis Elokim, Beis HaMikdosh. What it means is that he finally made it into a bais, into a home for Hashem. Then he said, V'zeh Shara Shomoyim, these are the gates to heaven. What does that mean? Rashi says, exactly here, where there's our Beis HaMikdosh, there's a Beis HaMikdosh Lamalo, another Beis HaMikdosh Lamalo. And this is where the two worlds meet. And this was Yaakov that did it. And then when he got up, he said, Vayikra Hashem Amoka Mohu Beis Keil. And he said, then he says, Va'evan Azos Asher Samti Matseva Ye Beis Elokim. Again, it should be the Beis Elokim. When he was sleeping, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Bohoya Za'acho Ke'afor O'oretz, your seed will be like the dust of the earth, Ufaratzto, and they will break all boundaries. Yoma V'keidma Tzafona V'negba, to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. V'nivrachu V'cho Kol Mishpachesa Adoma V'zarecho, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed because of you and your seed. Here he received the broch of Faratzto of Nachala Belimitzori, an inheritance without limitations. This is given, the Gemara says, to someone who on Shabbos enjoys both the spiritual blessings of Shabbos and the physical blessings of Shabbos in this world, from this world. Because both of them are bringing the two worlds together. And if you have the next world in this world, ultimately it will be without limitations. Because limitations is only something which is peculiar only to the physical world. One final point, and that is, this we spoke on this past Shabbos. The Maral brings in Masechet Ovos and Ben Chomesh Lemikra, the Mishnah, Sama Gerish Shmuel HaKotneimer, Ben Chomesh Lemikra, where we have all of the ages. When someone is 5 years old, he's ready to study Chumash. 10 years old, Mishnah. 13, he's ready for mitzvahs. 15, he's ready for Talmud. The Mishnah goes from the 5 year old to the 100 year old, all the way to 100 years. The Maral asks, it states, Shivim Shana Chai Enosh. Person lives 70 years, why all the way up to 100 years? He says, no. 70 years is the basic life of a person. But with a schus, if he has extra schuyas that'll give him long life, he can live to 100. All right. Then he asks, so then why to 100? Why not 110, 150, 200, 300? Why 100? She said, because just like we are saying that there's a direct link between Shabbos, which is the sanctity of the Zman, and the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mishkan, which is the sanctity of the Mokam, of the place, he says there's also a direct link to the Odom, to the person. He is the sanctity of all of the Nivroim, of all creations. He says, you should know that the individual, he himself, is a Beis HaMikdosh. Why is he a Beis HaMikdosh? What does he have to do with the Beis HaMikdosh? It's very simple. What is the Beis HaMikdosh? Beis HaMikdosh, what is it made of? It's like we said. The earth of Eretz Yisrael, physically, you can't find any physical analysis that makes it different than any place else. Beis HaMikdosh is made from Eitzim V'Avonim, from wood and stone. like any wooden stone. So what makes it special? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to dwell there. He says, this is my nachlo, this is my menucha. The same with an Odom. Odom is made out of the same materials that all of your animals and other creations are made from. What is the difference? Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into the nostrils of man a part of himself. Just as the Beis HaMikdash, this was the only place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled in, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash becomes unique from all places in the world. The same with man. Only in man did he give part of himself to, and therefore man becomes unique from all creations. So he says you must realize that a man is the same as a Beis HaMikdash. Because of that, he and the Beis HaMikdash were built in a similar vein. We find that the Chazal tell us that the Beis HaMikdash, the first Mikdash, was 100 amas high. And later on, Odom HaRishon originally was even higher, but afterwards he was brought down, he was 100 amos high. He says, this is why man could live to 100 years. Then, he writes, but his main years are 70. He can live, those are extended years, but his main years are 70. Now, it states, ben shivim leseva. When he reaches 70, then is sova. There are different interpretations in sova, but the Maral interprets it, sova, from the word sova, sevia, total satisfaction. He says, just as Shabbos comes on the seventh day, and the seventh day is the same word, sheva and sova. Shabbos brought totality into the world. It brought completion into the world. When a person reaches 70, he's reaching a totality and completion. And therefore, he reaches the level of ben shivim leseva, where he's very satisfied. He stops his drive. Man was given an innate drive where he's always searching. He's always driving. Why? Because a person doesn't search. Stam in the welt, for no reason. Person doesn't drive. Person doesn't run for no reason. There's a reason for it. Person searches if he's lacking something. Person runs for something if he's lacking something. Man was innately given this lack in order that he should search and in order that he should run. This is the Ben Esrim Lirdof. When a person is 20 and now the physical keches are starting to grow in him, it states his nature is Lirdof. He wants the world, wants to conquer the world, wants everything. And that's why it states that when he's 20, he's allowed to be taken into the army by Klal Yisrael, because the soldiers need that keach. Where Aretzel is gaber to be menatzeach, where they want to conquer. But 70 is just the opposite. He's had enough conquering. He's had enough driving. He's satisfied with himself. He's found everything he wants. Now he sits back a bit. That's the sphere. That's the seva. So that's similar, like we said on Shabbos, Bo Shabbos Bo Menucha. The reason why Shabbos, we take it easy, is not because we decided to take it easy. Because Shabbos places into a Yisrael a sense of totality where he's not lacking. We're not lacking, so what are we going to go drive after? What are we going to run after? Let me take it easy. Bo Shabbos, Bo Menucha. A person can only rest when the work is finished. And then he doesn't pursue and drive. And then finally, he brings that the Gemara in Berachas on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph states, "Call me Shiyesh Beideya, Kilu Nivne Beis Hamikdash Biyomov." During the time of the Churban, our times, whoever has Deya, Deya means who fills himself with the Das Hashem, fills himself with the knowledge of Hashem. Das is actually the highest level. That's where he understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu so well that it's as if he is synonymous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Das is. Call me Shiyesh Beideya. Whoever fills himself with the Das Hashem, Ki ilu nivne Beis Hamikdash biyomov, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash is being built in his days. Because we said that the Beis Hamikdash is a physical home in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to dwell in. The person also is a physical home which he can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. If he does, then he is having a hand in rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash. This gives us a reason why we find in a number of places throughout the Torah the parsha of Shabbos and the parshas of the Mishkan together. And it gives us an insight into what Shabbos is and what the Mishkan and the Mikdash are and what the person also is.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.